What is the most annoying question from kids? What is it? Why? Why? Why?
Are we there yet?
Oh yes, are we there yet? I was driving bus up to camp on Friday and we're barely out of Steinbeck. And are we there yet? It's a 2-hour bus drive from the Southland Church up to Burnerberger Bible Camp. Yeah, it was a long ride. And no air conditioning. What's the most annoying yet important question for inquisitive minds and creativity of children that they can ask? And that question is why? As annoying as it is, it's a great question that we should always be asking. Why? Why is what we explore and learn together here in church important? Why is it that we do teaching and preaching and communicating and all of that when we gather together? Because the trajectory of where we go, the choices we make, the beliefs we follow matter to where we will be 1 year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about how Jesus was before a bunch of Romans and temple guards with his disciples. And they asked, where is Jesus? We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And what did he answer? I am he. And with that, the people stepped back and fell to the ground. And that phrase that he declared right there was, I am. It's not just, I am he, I'm the one you're looking for. I am, which is what God called himself when he reintroduced himself to Moses. Who am I saying that I'm sending, that I'm going for? I am. And then Scott Friesen did a short devotional on the bread of life and how Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He's your and my sustenance. And last week we talked about, I am the way. What did the Mandalorian say? This is the way. That's what they always said. The Mandalorian said, this is the way. What does Jesus say? I am the way. Huge, huge difference. So this morning we're going to talk about I am the truth. That Jesus said, I'm the truth. So if you go to John chapter 14, I still think it's one of the most important statements that he's making. He's talking to his disciples, and they're starting to get very worried. They're starting to get very concerned as they're moving along, because Jesus is talking more and more about his death. About his death coming up. And he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. They had a trust in God. But you can trust me too. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it weren't so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me. I'm going, but I'm going to come back. And they go, where are you going? We don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. And then in verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Today we're going to talk about truth. No one can come to the Father except through me. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Says that twice in the book of Proverbs. Our trajectory, you think of a spaceship, wherever it's launched, and how they measure that is mind-blowing. But if one of those spaceships or satellites or whatever just goes off just the slightest degree, Over all those miles and how fast they're going, they will soon be way off the trajectory. I'm told, I don't know if this is true, did you know that if you are walking in a desert or an open area and you're walking straight, you will actually walk in a circle? Did you know that? Because one leg, your right or left, one leg is always stronger. And if you don't have a reference point, you will walk in a circle. Why is it that people, it seems, get lost and all of a sudden they end up where they started? Because you end up walking in a circle. We go in circles. Truth is embodied in Jesus Christ, who has always existed. He's always existed. What does it say in John chapter 1? What does it say? Verse 1. In the beginning. Where is that said before? In the beginning was the Word. Then what does it say? Sorry, say it a little louder. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is God. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, especially last week. If Jesus isn't who He is, and He says, I am God, if any faith, any cult, any belief system does not believe that Jesus is God, disregard them. Push them off to the side. Don't listen to them. They're wrong. Because the Word of God says, Jesus is God. The trajectory of your life, depending on what you believe, what I believe, and I'm so glad as I look over the years of how God stopped me from believing different systems and kept me out of certain organizations or certain beliefs or certain teachings. He kept me so I can still follow the right trajectory. Truth is embodied in Jesus Christ. Sounds like the Apostles' Creed, doesn't it? Okay, so here's a test. Last week I talked about the Apostles' Creed. How many of you read it? How many of you read it all 7 days? One person. You're better than me. I got to yesterday and I realized I'd only read it twice. I'm confessing to you, I said we should read it every day. So this, your application reflection at the end of the day is let's do it again. So we're gonna read the Apostles' Creed, we're gonna put it up, and because it's one of those things that just, again, helps us to really know what we believe, okay? So let's read this together out loud with a little bit of like oomph to it. Okay? All right, let's read. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. We're going to talk about him in a moment. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And on the third day He rose again, and He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church. That's what Catholic means. Back then, 400 AD or 387, it meant the Universal Church, all the churches. Okay, so read that again. The Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And everyone said, Amen. This is a really good capsule of what we believe. And it really helps us. So our homework, me too, will be to read it every day. You can get it online, it's no problem. Now, there's an interesting conversation now that Jesus has with Pontius Pilate. So if you go to John chapter 18, the religious leaders have brought Jesus, they had him arrested, they brought him So the religious leaders, they had a big meeting and condemned him, and then, but they knew they couldn't kill him. You just kind of got to wonder, why did they think this way? Thou shalt not murder. And yet they're the ones going to murder Jesus. But we can't murder him. So they took him to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Verse 33. Then Pilate went back into his headquarters after talking to all his religious leaders and called for Jesus to be brought to him. And he says, "Are you king of the Jews?" he asked. Jesus answered, "He's about to be condemned." Watch his conversation. Is that your own question, or did others tell you about me? "Am I a Jew?" Jesus, or Pilate, retorted. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done?" Notice he doesn't answer the question. "My kingdom," Jesus answered, "my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom." It's not about what's going on right here. "If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." "So you're a king? That's what you are, a king?" Jesus responded, "You say I am a king. Actually, I was born, and I came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. And then Pilate answers, or makes a statement, this famous question: "What is truth? What is truth?" I'm sure there was probably more to this conversation than what's recorded there. But I can imagine Jesus standing there looking straight at him. And what is he saying? "You're looking at him." What's truth? "You're looking at him. I am the truth. I don't just teach truth. I am the truth," Jesus says. John chapter 4, verse 23. He's talking to a woman at the well. Verse 23. He says to her, "The time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way, to worship God the Father and Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. For God is spirit, so those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, and the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to him." She knew. She knew Jesus was coming. Not Jesus, but the Christ. And what does he say? Right in front of her. It's not on the text there. But right in front of her. "I am. I am the Messiah." One-on-one, "I'm telling you, woman, I am the Messiah. I'm the one you're looking for." Incredible. Back to John chapter 14. Verse 16. Jesus is saying, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit." What? "Who will guide you into all truth." I've thought about this phrase. Have any of you heard the phrase, "All truth is God's truth"? Have you heard that phrase before? All truth is God's truth. I'm just going to put a question mark behind that. It doesn't quite make sense to me. If you think about it deep enough, All truth is God's truth. God's truth. I'm not sure. If you have some thoughts, talk to me about it. But I'm not sure about that phrase. It says, He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him. It doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives in you. Say, Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Now it says He lives with you and later will be in you. He's in you. Verse 26. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, the Holy Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. He will teach us the truth. He will teach us the truth. Now, I've thought about this word truth as you have. Truth and justice. Truth and reconciliation. We throw truth all over the place. And I want to encourage us to don't just define truth by justice or by data, by facts. Don't define truth by judging others' intentions or even being right. We tell people, tell the truth. And that's true. We need to tell the truth. But I think sometimes we make the word bigger than it's actually meant to be. Jesus made truth personal. Why does this matter? Why? There are too many ideas and philosophies in the world. What we believe will lead us down a path either we don't want to go or where we should be going. How do we know? How do we know that what we believe is true? Is true. Jesus said, I am the truth. That's who we follow. We'll have beliefs in our faith, but we need to be following the person. The definition of truth, or a couple of definitions, is real, ideal, and genuine. Real, ideal, and genuine. Now it's interesting how Jesus says in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. No one can come to the Father except through me. It's kind of a dogmatic statement, isn't it? It's kind of a bold statement. Some would say it's kind of an arrogant statement if Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the only way. No one can come to the Father except through me. Thomas Constable, in his commentary, writes this. He goes, years ago, a student in a well-known university told me that he didn't like the Bible because it's filled with dogmatism. I agreed with him that it is. It's true. There's lots of dogmatic statements in the scriptures. He especially selected this verse. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's dogmatic, I said. It sure is. Have you realized that that is a characteristic of truth to be dogmatic? Truth has to be dogmatic. And he goes on to say, in fact, I had a teacher who was the most dogmatic, narrow-minded person I had ever met. She insisted that 2 + 2 = 4. That's pretty dogmatic. If I was in her class, she'd probably go so far to say 3 + 3 = 6. Not only that, 4 + 4 = 9. Yeah, there you go. Right? But you look at it, you go, some things are just dogmatic. You can't skew it. It's true. He goes on to say, there is a mistaken idea today that you can come to Jesus your own way. This isn't your universe. It's God's universe. You and I don't make the rules. He makes the rules. And he says that no man comes to him except through Christ. Now, let me temper this a little bit. We actually don't have to be dogmatic for the truth. Did you know that? Let the truth speak for itself. We need not fight this world on truth. Jesus didn't fight Pilate, did he? Now, I know some of you are going, yeah, but we got to sit. No, we actually don't have to fight this world. We just have to stand for the truth and believe in the truth and let the truth speak for itself. Let me illustrate it. And I'm going to read this story as opposed to telling it. This Erwin McManus in his book, The Genius of Jesus, tells this story. Years ago, I found myself in a heated debate with a brilliant atheist. At our weekly Q&A that we hosted at Mosaic, the church that he pastors in Hollywood. This atheist was angry at God for the hypocrisy he experienced growing up in church. There were probably 200 people in this room, but this man was the only one asking questions. It's not that no one else had anything to say. He simply did not allow anyone else the opportunity to join the questions, the conversation. Every time I answered his question, he would come at me with another without stopping to reflect. For an atheist to be angry at God always seemed like such a strange thing to me. Right? What are you angry about, something you don't even believe in? But this man's third or fourth question, I realized I wasn't making any progress. And I sensed his questions were disingenuous. His questions were not for the purpose of discovery, but to prove his intellectual superiority. I am more than happy to admit that many people are way smarter than me, but that wasn't the point of this gathering. Just before the man posed what would be his last question, I asked him to pause. I will answer one more question. If it's the question that keeps you from trusting God with your life. Let me say it again. Erwin McManus asks this atheist, I will answer one more question if it is the question that keeps you from trusting God with your life. I challenged him to ask me the question that if I answered it well, he would acknowledge his need for God and open his soul to the invitation of Jesus. Their past, what seemed to be an eternity of silence. The man seemed to find himself at an unexpected crossroad. He was loaded with questions that had kept him from faith, but unprepared to voice the one question that would allow him to believe. He finally broke the silence by asking for a rain check. He said that question was too important to ask on such short notice. He asks if he could think about it for a week and return next week to continue the conversation. I said, of course. Take your time and find the questions that will lead you to the answers you seek. He never did come back. Sometimes the weight of that ultimate question is more than we're ready to bear. I hope that there came a day when he found the courage to ask it. You would think, he goes on to say, the truth would make you more dogmatic, but in fact the opposite is true. The person who genuinely searches for truth will always have an open mind with an open heart. When someone asked Jesus when his father would bring the culmination of the age, his answer is quite simply, when is the end of the world coming? I don't know, he says. When we hold too tightly to the truths that give us comfort, we are in danger of choosing the security of a lie. I have many friends who consider themselves atheists, and I've realized over the years that not all atheists are the same. When someone self-identifies as an atheist, I will always ask them up front to clarify what they mean. He says, are you the kind of atheist who would love to know there is a God, and if he did exist, or the kind of atheist who wouldn't want to know if they were wrong? If there is a God, and he created us in his image, then our lives have both intention and responsibility. The only truth that really matters is the truth that changes us. If the truth doesn't make you true, then it's a lie. So let's conclude. One of my favorite Christian artists, Jeff Moore, wrote this song called One Brand of Truth. He says, I hear them saying, you've just got to believe. Whatever is working for you personally, this is their brand of truth. I have to question a philosophy, what we envision as what God will be. There are so many paths up the mountain that point to the top, but all but one is a dead end street. Few find the narrow way that leads to the one brand of truth, to the one empty tomb. It's pure and simple, it's sure and strong. I serve the one who is Lord alone, his one brand of truth. So what's your brand of truth? What's my brand of truth? What do we believe is truth? Where does our truth rest? Who are we trusting for truth? And it all comes down to the relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Why does it matter? Why? Where will what we believe and trust lead us? What's our trajectory? My question for every one of us is to think that through. Where is my trajectory of faith going? And if you're here, I know most of you, but I don't know all of you very well yet. But maybe there's a part of you that you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet. You haven't placed your faith in Jesus personally. I invite you to do that. To say yes to Jesus. I believe in you. I trust you. I may not understand everything about you, Jesus, but I'm going to trust you to be my way. I'm going to trust you to be my truth. I'm going to trust you. So what's the application and reflection? read the Apostles' Creed. Read John chapter 14. That's what I'm going to do this week. Every day this week, I'm going to read John chapter 14. Rich chapter. And then ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into truth. So come lead us in closing song as I close in prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we sit before you, we stand before you, we honor you. You say you are the way, the truth, and the life. We trust you. Help us, Jesus, this day, this week, to follow you. And whatever difficulties, whatever joys, whatever comes this week, we're going to trust you. And we say, Jesus, we love you. In your name, we pray. Amen.